I mentioned as we began Mass this morning that all three evangelists, Matthew, Mark and Luke, mention the temptation of Jesus. It's always used as the first Sunday of Lent every year. And each of the gospel writers there use it to highlight something important in their whole gospel. So they all have a different twist on it, if you like, to meet their overall gospel writing need. Matthew's is the easiest, I think, to trace. Firstly, because Matthew wants to identify the historical Jesus, and that historical Jesus is connected to the journey of Israel. Now, once we have that in our head, we can start to understand the language that Matthew uses, the symbols that are used in there. And for example, I'll start this morning that before the temptation, before Jesus is led out into the wilderness, before then, we have his baptism in Matthew's gospel. And when Jesus is baptized, we hear those words come through the clouds, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." So Jesus is identified as the Son of God. Jesus as man is identified as the Son of God. That was a voice that came through. That voice was heard by others. That voice will have been heard by the spirits. Now, where Jesus was baptized is on the edge of the desert down near the Jordan River. And this is where, and Jesus was taken into the wilderness. So from the water into the wilderness. The wilderness is the place, it's the domain of the spirits in Mediterranean culture. They're very powerful in their culture, to the point that people use symbols and amulets and colours to keep spirits away. So in a lot of Mediterranean cultures, the colour blue is the colour that keeps spirits away. So you'll often see doors and window frames painted in blue to keep the bad spirits away. It's very much a part of their culture. But let's look at the whole story of the temptation. We know that there were three opportunities here for the devil. But Matthew, wanting to identify Jesus as the real and the true Israelite, connects the temptations with the journey of the Israelites leaving Egypt. So this is the Exodus story retold. We have the Israelites in Egypt. They are the first thing that happens to them once they start their escape from slavery. The first thing that happens, they go through the Red Sea. So Matthew has Jesus being baptized as he goes out into the wilderness. The Israelites went out into the wilderness after the Red Sea, and that's where Jesus heads after his baptism. The water is significant. It's a direct link. The next thing that happens is that Jesus is out there for 40 days and 40 nights. The Israelites are out in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 is a significant number in Scripture. 40 refers to a generation. It's not just a long time, but it's a generation. So you'll see Moses, when he goes up the mountain before he's given the law, he's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah is up for 40 days and 40 nights. Noah, 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, out in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. Then the devil says to him, "You must be hungry. Turn these stones into bread." Jesus uses Scripture to come back and say, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." As the Israelites went out into the wilderness, the first thing they did was they whinged and complained because they had no food. So God gave them manna, which we know as bread from heaven. So there's the second connection. They were given bread. The devil says, "You can make your own bread. You can be the baker supreme." Baker's delight. But no, Jesus very cleverly uses Scripture to push back on the devil. But it's interesting for us to note the first temptation is about physical things. It's about hunger, certainly, but it's about physical things. The Jews whinged because they had no food. God gave them food, and that the manna from heaven. And then now the devil is trying to connect all of this together, and Jesus says, once again, we live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Please remember that when we say the Our Father in a moment. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Don't skip over that and think it's just about baker's delight. Give us this day our daily bread. It is that we accept the gift from God, the gift of all of the good things, but that's what satisfies our hunger and satisfies our temporal needs. So don't pass over those words. They connect right into the first temptation. The second temptation was on the journey of the Israelites after they whinged about not having any food. They got thirsty. So then they complained and complained to Moses, and they said, Moses, if God was really leading us forward, then we wouldn't be going through this dying of thirst business. So they tested God. And then Moses eventually hits the rock and water comes forth at a place called Massah, which is what means trial. And then they named the place Massah and Meribah because Meribah means to test. At Massah in the desert and Meribah, the Israelites tested God. So now we have the devil with the second temptation putting Jesus to the test from the temple, the parapet of the temple. You can be a miracle man. Throw yourself down and you won't get hurt. But Jesus is not about the spectacular. He is about putting his whole trust in God the Father. Absolutely everything that he has now come to understand who he is and what his course is in the hands of God, and he will not turn his back on that trust. And that's what we need to keep in mind during our Lenten journey. Don't put God to the test. Trust in everything. The third temptation with Matthew, we have the devil taking Jesus now up a mountain. Whenever there's a mountain mentioned, you know that something big is going to happen. There's going to be something from God which teaches people. So today we have the devil saying to Jesus, look at the kingdoms of the world. I'm going to give you all of those if you will worship me. The kingdoms of the world are not the devil's to give. They may have been taken by the devil, but they are not his to give. So Jesus replies to that, you must worship the Lord your God. Once again, he pulls in scripture three times and serve him alone. So Jesus knows his scripture and he uses it to push back the devil. Remember, I began by saying when Jesus was identified, this is my son, the beloved, the voice from the cloud, all the spirits will have heard. So now Jesus is pushing back all of those voices. We look at this time of Lent, and the word temptation is there all the time. Temptation comes to us through all the many voices, the clutter in our minds. They are the voices trying to pull us in all sorts of different directions. The people of Israel leaving Egypt have now got to Mount Nebo in modern-day Jordan, and Moses looks across the Jordan River, and that's the Promised Land. The Promised Land is the symbol of God. That's where God is. It's where you are headed. Moses never gets there. He dies before he gets there. But he points the people to that place. So now we have the Promised Land is in the third temptation, the world. Your future is with God. Put your trust in him and avoid the voices that want to pull you in other directions. And the tool that Jesus uses to give us strength, as the gospel writers pass that on to us, is actually Holy Scripture. So the first thing I'd say to you in your Lenten journey, this first Sunday of Lent, is do you have a Bible at home? Do you know where it is? And when did you last open it? Move it from being a doorstop That would be the first thing I would say as we start Lent this year. I say that because we should store Holy Scripture close in our heart and know how to use it. That's what we pick up from this gospel. Even if it's the bulletin where the text is printed there, refer to it, come back to it. Second thing I'd say this morning is keep your eyes on God from the second temptation and trust God in absolutely everything that is going on in your life. This was uncomfortable for Jesus. Our life can be uncomfortable too. Put your entire trust in him for everything. The third thing I say to you this morning is remember your calling. And your calling from your baptism was to bring the light of God by witness into a darkened world. That's our individual calling. No more mine than what it is yours. Together, to bring the light of God into the darkened world. Don't step back from that. And the fourth thing I'd say to you this morning is stand up courageously and say no. A strong, loud no to all of those voices, those spirit voices, if you like, that are trying to draw us back into the darkness, that are trying to draw us away from the light, away from the promised land, which is God. Say no, be definite, not just in your language, but in your actions. Holy Scripture, put your trust in God. Remember what your mission is as a baptised person and say no to those voices.